Welcome to our podcast.
As a matter of
black.
You really messed up our intro this time.
I'm not even gonna start with you because I took an initiative, so don't ever come at me like that. I took initiative.
I feel like you've been off your game. You have not been recording as a matter of black podcast, and you just a little rusty, and so you messing everything up already at the very beginning. We hadn't even got started.
Excuse me, you act like you've been recording the podcast.
I have not, but I remember
you rusty.
I remember a certain time not too long ago when I was fully 100% prepared. I got up early. I had did my turmeric, ginger, and honey and jalapeno shot. I did me a couple of push-ups and jumping jacks and lifted up my 5-pound weight.
I knew you was going to try to do this. I knew you was going to try to blame me.
And I had charged up my computer. I had prepared. I was ready. And then what happened?
Okay, so basically, let me just break it down to y'all. She blaming me because we recorded 1 week later, but hiatus for months. So I'm not even going to let y'all know it's extended a week because of me, but I ain't the reason why we ain't been on with y'all for months. So stop it. Stop it and stop it today.
Well, as you mentioned, we have been on a hiatus, but we're back and we're black.
Back and we black.
Blacker than ever.
Black at it. Just back and black at it.
We're black at it. Just in time for our most coveted, celebrated holiday, aka Juneteenth.
Juneteenth. Yay.
Just in time for that. But before we get into Juneteenth and celebrations and everything, we want to just thank everybody as usual. One, for your patience, because life be life, and you know, we can't always squeeze in a podcast episode. But thanks for your patience, and thanks for always listening to us and asking us when the next episode is going to come out, and listening and sharing and liking and doing all the stuff that podcasters love for their audience and their supporters to do.
For sure. We appreciate y'all, you know what I'm saying, being patient. And now we back with more Bowie and Bali.
The duo. So
we start thinking about some of the greatest duos in history. You know, you start thinking about people like Kofi Brown, a great duo. You think about Changing Faces. Keenan and Kel.
Kid and Play.
Kid and Play. A great, great duo. Rick James and Tina Marie.
Or Tupac and Biggie.
Ja Rule and Ashanti.
Or Ashanti and Nelly.
Okay. Ashanti and Nelly.
Didn't they have a song together or something?
I don't remember that song.
Oh, okay.
I was going hard and you wasn't. Jordan and Pippen. Great.
Method Man and Red Man.
A great duo. Give me one more. Come on, women. Let's get some more women great duos.
Salt and Pepper. Cinderella, but you know, anyway.
Come on, just Salt and Pepper. That's all we need. Okay. Wyclef and Lauryn Hill. Great duo.
Great duo. or Erykah Badu and Common. They're a great duo as well.
Erykah Badu and Common, yeah, for sure. We're gonna talk about Chatter for Real. Chatter for Real, great duo.
I don't know who that is, but go off.
Pharrell Williams, the producer, and Chad.
Sure.
Great duo.
That's a great duo.
Yeah. The Neptunes.
I just know them as the Neptunes, you know, because we never really knew who that, I don't mean no harm, but I never knew who the Asian man was. but
was making them hits. They was making them hits before we even knew what they looked like.
They was a part of the Neptunes. I got the Neptunes, like the I don't know what it's called, but it's kind of like the greatest hits Neptunes on vinyl. And it's one of my favorite things on vinyl.
Timberland and Missy Elliott. I'm Timberland and you Missy Elliott. Great duo.
Missy Elliott and Sierra.
Come on now.
You know what's we know what else
Bert and Ernie. Bert and Ernie. Come on.
Let me tell you what's a good duo.
Yeah.
Whiskey and Coke.
Whiskey and Coke, a great duo.
Now that is a duo.
You ain't lying. I gotta agree with you. Whiskey and Coke it just blends so perfect. It's a perfect marriage.
It really is. I don't even drink Coke, but if somebody offer me like whiskey and Coke every now and again, it's a club banger.
Oh,
like literally a club banger.
Oh yeah, it took over for the 99 and the 2000 for sure. You know, another great duo.
But all yeah, right.
Yeah, so we didn't give y'all some examples of what you could compare us to. You know, don't ever compare us to like Joe Biden and whoever. Don't compare us to Joe Biden and Kamala. You know, we different like that.
We're special.
We're special.
So it's the month of June, which means we've been celebrating a lot this month. We've been celebrating Juneteenth all month. We've really been celebrating Juneteenth since like March, to be honest.
Yeah. Also Black Music Month too.
Also been celebrating Black Music Month, and I have really just been basking in the blackness.
Come on now.
One of my favorite things to do.
That might be the name of the episode, Basking in the Blackness.
I like that name for the episode.
Yeah.
I have really been, the summer's here, the sun been out finally, because you know that winter was interesting. It was dreary, rainy and stuff and cold for a lot of most of the winter. We just didn't know if spring was going to, it was spring, but spring went ahead and sprung on up out of here and just came on rolling in with the summer. The spring was like, get somebody else to do it. And then summer came. And so we're here in the summer and, you know, I've been in the sun. I've been by the pool. I've been to a barbecue or two, kicked it off for Memorial Day. And I'm getting darker, which, you know, is my favorite thing to do.
Come on now.
Get darker and brown and browner. And, you know, it's just right in time for Juneteenth and June month and just the summertime. And so I'm super excited about June. And our favorite holiday.
Juneteenth. Come on, brown skin. You know I love your brown skin.
I was just going to say, what's so interesting that I feel like I've noticed is that, like, a few things. Like, so many people are now really, really, really seriously taking Juneteenth. Like, I feel like for so long, you know what I'm saying? It was a holiday that some people may have celebrated. Some people may have known about, or people didn't really know about it at all. And now I'm assuming, you know what I'm saying, with a lot of the civil unrest and stuff that we experienced in the last, you know, 2 and 3 years, post-pandemic and things like that, that people are really, like I said, kind of coveting this holiday and really, you know, taking time and taking space to acknowledge it and really become a part of a movement in regards to Juneteenth. I've been seeing so many cities, like even predominantly white cities, you know what I'm saying, where Black people are hosting all kinds of Juneteenth events and activities. There's flyers, like they got a budget, you know what I'm saying? They have in B, C, and D list. Stars host or perform, you know what I'm saying? I ain't seen no A-listers yet, but you know, I'm just thinking about some small surrounding cities, you know, and where I'm at. And so I've just been really enjoying seeing Black people turn up and take ownership, and be serious about such a wonderful holiday, utilizing that time to like invoke and embrace culture and community and activities and events and music and just the beauty arts of like Black people overall. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I've been here for it, and now we see, unfortunately, sometimes people don't want to celebrate their blackness unless they feel other folks won't be uncomfortable about it. Like, when we got that federal holiday, I think a lot of black folks, it woke them up and kind of was like, okay, it's we can celebrate black independence. I mean, come on. We live in a country celebrate Mexican independence with all type of energy. Celebrate the wrong day too. You know what I'm saying? They be talking about Mexican independence on Cinco de Mayo, and that is not the Independence Day. But they celebrate it. They go eat them. They go out to the restaurants, and it's Cinco de Mayo here. You got drink specials here and all this type of stuff. Nobody think of anything of it, even though it's the wrong day. So,
Right.
people, get excited for St. Patrick's Day. I don't even know what that even celebrates, but we know it's something Irish, And so that's another one. And then we celebrate different heritage months for people and Pride Month and all that type of stuff. And so, like, yes, it is okay for Black folks to be celebrated. It's okay for us to get excited about it, As long as we can maintain control over celebration and how and what ways people celebrate, I don't see no issue with it. I've been celebrating for years, and yeah, it's okay to think about liberation for us as a people and moving forward. So Juneteenth is always going to be something I celebrate, and I don't want to hear nothing about it because as much as I see people 4th of July walking around with American flag shorts and shirts and want to pop firecrackers and all that type of stuff. Like, nah, we want that same energy for us. And regardless if believing it or not, these are holidays that means it's significant to somebody. So, for me, I'm like, what y'all want to be upset about? Hey, y'all want to be upset about us celebrating Kwanzaa because of your beef with that in the history of Kwanzaa. Okay, so you beefing with that. Well, what's your beef with Juneteenth? Okay, so if you don't want to celebrate Kwanzaa or Juneteenth, then let's just say that you're not happy about blackness. Let's just say that. Okay, let's just keep it real and end it right there because it's something, find an issue with both of them. And you're mad at people celebrating both of them, then I'm just gonna say you just got an issue with black folks celebrating anything for the most part.
I mean, I'll just say you got an issue with culture in general. Like, definitely can categorize it as you not liking black people or got an issue with black people, but it's also probably because you're very uncultured. You know what I'm saying? That's what I would think.
And real talk, yeah, you got some issues with taking pride in the culture. Honestly, to be real with you, I've been celebrating Black holiday, my own Black holidays for a long time. I always celebrate and make sure that I'm off or doing something to honor Malcolm X on Malcolm X's birthday. Last year,
Thanks.
for a few years, we've been celebrating Marcus Garvey. You know what I'm saying? So, that's on and been popping, man. I'm about to start figuring out ways we can celebrate Ella Baker and Fannie Lou Hamer. So, it's, if they gonna celebrate, that's fine, but we can celebrate when we want to too, because they holidays, they're all made up. Every single last one of them is made up. So do what you do, and I'm gonna do what I do.
We can't wait to hear or see pictures of what you guys are doing. I'm gonna try to get in on a few festivities. I already took off. I'm off at noon on Friday, and I'm not going to work on Monday. And so it's turn up time for me. For me, starting Thursday night.
Come on. I'm off Monday. We turned up all weekend. We got things popping in the city.
Yeah.
We got the bailout, the raffle going. So
Lovely.
yeah, I'm gonna send you the link so you can get in on the raffle.
Yeah, how can people support the bailout?
Oh, it's simple. For the Little Rock Freedom Fund bailout, what you can do is you can either Cash App or Venmo, and say raffle ticket. This is for the Little Rock Freedom Fund bailout. So the Cash App is $LR Freedom Fund, FREEDOMFUND. Or you can say Little Rock Freedom Fund for Venmo. Cash App, we got $10 per entry. You can get you a photo session with photographer Joshua Asante, $100 gift card from Root Cafe, a variety box and Smoke and Smudge. You get some artwork that's been custom framed by Pyramid Books and Art, the only black-owned art gallery in the city. And they also got a pedal to the metal bouquet going. And so tickets only $10. You can win one of those great prizes. But also know that your money, even if you don't win a prize, is going to liberate somebody from the county jail. We've already bailed out four people this month. We're going to continue for the rest of June. But just know, even if you don't win a prize in the Little Rock Freedom Fund Juneteenth Freedom Day bailout, your money going towards liberating somebody that's in the jail system because of poverty. We don't think nobody should be locked up because they can't afford bail. We think everybody, we believe in ending cash bail for one, but two, we believe in giving people assistance that need it because people make mistakes and everybody is not guilty just because they're arrested. So.
That's real. It's something going on. I need to actually talk to you offline about it, but
Yeah.
that's a great point that you brought up because there's something going on out here that I'm kind of, I think is kind of wild, to be honest. Well,
Yeah.
actually, I don't even know a whole lot about it, but anyway, I'll talk to you about it later.
Yeah.
However, I'm just gonna say this. If I'm do my little entry, I need to win something. I mean, I know you got control over who wins.
No, I don't. No, I do not have control over.
It's for me, it's the photo shoot for me, it's the pedal to the metal bouquet for me. It is the custom frame art for me. So if I put in, I need to win at least those three. Now, everybody else can
Oh, yeah, all three y'all want to win one thing.
How many times you pulling?
We
You
pull
pulling
each
for a prize?
prize. Each
Huh?
prize.
Okay,
You
it's
don't
nine.
get, you don't, we got five different prizes. You don't get all five of them. So
I need to win. I ain't say
people
all five.
don't
I
win.
said three. I need to win three. Now the other two, you could pull who you feel like it for those.
Okay, so that means you're gonna at least enter three times.
That's exactly what it means.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I'm gonna tell you this right here. Hey, we got some entries popping up, so I'm long. So
I need to hurry up and put my entry in.
the more you put in, the better chance you got. You know what I'm saying?
Great. I can't wait. That's going to be so exciting. And that's such a good initiative. I have been seeing that they did get some people out of jail. I think it was last week or a couple weeks ago. So it's always really cool to see that.
Yeah, I got Juneteenth decorations this year, so it's going down.
Oh my gosh, I need to get. Okay, that's a great idea. I'm excited.
Yeah, they get put up. They get put up. For sure, for sure. I'm gonna take pictures every time.
Well, I can't. Everybody needs to show us on Twitter or Instagram and tag us all your Juneteenth festivities and plans and decorations and hair and everything. And like, we'll see y'all after Juneteenth to recap.
For sure, deep in the streets.
So it's really crazy, you know. I've been feeling like it's so weird, like, you know, the last few years, it's always weird, like finding out about another iconic person passing away. And I
Yeah.
feel like it's such a frequent thing that it's like a drag to talk about now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like maybe back in the day, and maybe this is not real. Like maybe things have kind of always been this way, but it just felt differently. But now I feel like every time you get on the news, we hear about somebody passing, and I feel like you kind of have to take it in strides. I feel like for me, I'm less inclined to feel away if they're an older person versus like a younger person. If they're young, that's really gonna bother me. But if they're a relatively older person, I feel like we have always celebrated their life in a sense, and like they can now rest peacefully, and like that's cool. And so I know that we recently lost a few people, but more recently we lost Tina Turner.
Yeah, the iconic Tina Turner. I mean, that's major because to me, I feel like, she revolutionized performance for Black women, for women. Just say women, you know what I'm saying? Because she got a whole lot of people that want to walk like she did it, you know what I'm saying? But she crawled, you know what I'm saying? But she did it first. But like my immediate thought was, hey, without Tina Turner, we don't get a Janet Jackson, we don't get a Aaliyah, we don't get Beyonce, we don't have a Rihanna. We don't, she knocked down the doors in R&B and rock for women to like sing powerful vocals and put on the show with the choreography, with the outfits, theatrics, all of that. You really didn't hear about no woman before her doing it like that on that level. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. And I also feel like, what's interesting about Tina Turner, I was watching a interview. I can't remember what interview it was on, maybe the Late Show or Late Night Show or something, but she was talking about how she taught Mick Jagger his moves, which I thought was kind of funny. And people love her in a sense, but I think they love her more because of the movie What's Love Got to Do with It.
I mean, definitely.
I feel like it really revolutionized her story, a story that was kind of really like untold. Like my first time ever knowing about Tina, who Tina Turner was literally by watching Angela Bassett on What's Love Got to Do with It. Like I may have heard, I probably at that point have heard of Tina Turner's song, but it didn't make me want to be like, who is this woman until after I saw the movie. And then if they, at the very end of the movie where they actually have her performing, and it's like a million and one people at the stadium, where she's performing What's Love Got to Do with It. And I was like, this woman is amazing, and like I love her, I think she's really cool. And that's really when I started to look into who Tina Turner was for myself. But like just hearing, because my mom, I'm sure, would play her songs, you know what I'm saying? But we never really talked about who she was as a person. And so it really wasn't until after I saw the movie that I kind of had a fondness over her. Do you have a favorite Tina Turner song?
Private Dancer. That's like my ish from Tina. You know what I'm saying? I just like her vocals on that joint, and you know what I'm saying? It's like one of her not it's like one of the songs that she gets to display her vocals, and it got a softer feel because she got a heavy voice, man. You know, but a Private Dancer is like that smooth cut that I just really like by her, and it's actually. You know, one of those songs that came out after the height of her success, because you know she was always known as Ike and Tina Turner. That was who it was. And then you know, Private Dancer came out, That was in like the early 80s. So
Right.
hearing that joint, I, you know, so I always liked it. You know what I'm saying? It's something I always put on playlists and stuff, you know. So definitely that. I ain't gonna stunt either, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a I wasn't the biggest Tina Turner fan.
Right.
I'm like not a fanatic, but definitely a fan of her music and, you know what I'm saying, her story. And I gotta say this too before we just like move like along, you know, I like the older I got, the more I felt like, don't get me wrong, What's Love Got to Do with It was a great song and a great movie. But I always feel like the movie What's Love Got to Do with It, the reception that it got in the black community, a lot of I was, you know, obviously I was very young when that movie came out. And so like I had no clue that she went through that physical abuse in her relationship with her then husband or whatever. And growing up, it honestly was like a joke. Like the violence in that relationship became like a running joke.
It kind of still is. If you catch these memes and stuff that be going around, it's still kind
It
of.
still is. And so the older I got, you know, it's because when you're a kid, you don't know how to take shit. You just be like, they laughing, these adults making jokes about it. It must be okay to do that. But when you get older, you start thinking for yourself, more and more I saw it, I always thought like, man, it must really be like hurtful to be like Tina Turner. So like turn on the TV and not know when somebody's gonna be joking about like some traumatic stuff that you went through as a young person, as an adult for like over a decade. And I know she always said that and she was like so proud of the way Angela Bassett played her, because how she said that she didn't portray her, she became her. Like, so she definitely signed off on everything with the movie and everything like that. But I always just felt like, man, like, I know she gotta be like real triggered by a lot of stuff, because sometimes them jokes would just come out of nowhere. You know, it wouldn't she wasn't in the news for nothing, you know, saying he wasn't in the news for nothing, Ike Turner. And let's just say, man, Lawrence Fishburne, because he played the hell out of that role.
Okay.
Yeah, he up there with when the only thing about it is I say he up there with villains like Mr. in The Color Purple and Michael Ealy in For Color Girls. He up there in villain history, but the thing about it is he was a real person. So yeah, Lawrence Fishburne played the hell out of Ike Turner, but these were real experiences that were documented. So like I always just kind of felt like, you know, we didn't do her we didn't give her respect that she deserved, because like no woman should ever be in no abusive relationship. Nobody, no woman or man should be in an abusive relationship, but nobody deserves to make fun of anybody that's in a physical abusive relationship for staying in it and overcoming it. Nobody deserves to be the butt of a joke because of that. So
Yeah, I think it's crazy that it's like you said, I don't know, I never found it to be funny. Like there was a couple of scenes that I ain't gonna mention, but there was a couple of scenes where I was just like, this scene is wild, you know what I'm saying? And I was a little watching it. I mean, it wasn't super young. My mom wouldn't have let me watch it that young, but I was young thinking this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Some of these scenes. But yeah, to your point, it's still kind of running rampant. I see that Ike, that Lawrence Fishburne playing Ike Turner meme all the time. I seen somebody do like a Tina Turner reenactment of her running from the hotel to the, you know, from one hotel to the other hotel across the street. And like, I'm just like, it's really not fodder, you know what I'm saying? And they was talking about, at least I had heard, I don't know how true this is, but I heard that she literally, you know, relinquish her American citizenship to go move to Sweden or Switzerland or wherever, specifically for that reason. That and kind of the fact that, Ike Turner was like kind of centered at, her story and her success, which I also think is crazy. But my favorite Tina Turner song is like, I don't know if a lot of people listen to it or if they like it as much. It is a Tina and Ike song, but it's River Deep, Mountain High. And that's like my favorite song. And it's real old. And they must have came out in like the 70s or something. But it is my favorite, favorite Tina Turner song. Like I would listen to it repeat on repeat all the time. I just thought her voice was just so beautiful and so amazing. And the composition of that song was so good. And then I think that they like she performed it with like an orchestra or something like that. And so there's all these strings and everything. I just think it's so beautiful. So that's like my favorite Tina Turner song ever.
Tina, Midnight. Come on.
Midnight said it's her favorite song too.
I see. That's why I'm like, give a shout out. Cause, Midnight said he loved his, she loved him some anime.
Leave her out, okay?
Don't leave her out. No. We're not leaving 2023. We're not leaving no dog parents out, and no dog children out of the discussion, okay?
No dog left behind, okay?
Like, yeah, when we say no dog left behind, we talking about for real no dog left behind. Because with George Bush, when they started leaving them children behind, and after they said no child left behind, they were leaving all of them children.
And that now we gotta talk about that on another a different episode too.
Okay, we're gonna talk about George Bush and what Barbara Bush, whatever. We're gonna talk about no child behind. Y'all were leaving people behind.
Shut up.
It's the bus left behind, you know what I'm saying? I just gotta say how I feel.
Yes, I don't disagree with you.
Really, but yeah.
Well, rest in peace, Tina Turner, and your music and your story and everything will live on.
Most definitely. And I'm gonna go, you know what I'm saying? She got a documentary on HBO Max, which I was just called Max for whatever reason.
Whatever reason, so odd.
Yeah, but well, I did see that they including other channels in there. Because HBO Max was just supposed to be HBO and Cinemax combined. That's why it's called HBO Max. And now it's just Max. And I'm like, okay. So I see they got some different programs and things like that. I did the little update and seen what else they added new.
Well,
You got a documentary on there. Y'all go check that out if you want to learn more about Tina Turner life.
I mean, I was gonna say, besides your, strong knowledge of apps, what else is happening? What else is going on in your world?
Oh, somebody got jokes, man. See, this is what I'm talking about. When sometimes I know one thing I got going on in my life. I'm gonna just keep this statement short. I'm talking to the listeners. Sometimes, don't you hate when you get around some of your friends and they start acting like brand new? That's what Bowie do a lot. Every time we start recording the episode, we start off talking real friendly in the banter. And then as soon as I hit the record button, she started beefing. She started putting me on front street. I got friends and family members like that. Like when y'all show up to the house, in the car ride, it'd be all cool and dandy. Then y'all get there and they just start exposing you. That's what she do. So I'm gonna just say that that's what's going on in my life every time, as a matter of black happen. It's a Bowie get on her. She start getting on her little on stage personality, basically.
I feel like I gotta keep you on your toes.
You gotta keep me on my toes.
Somebody around to do that for you.
You volunteer to do that. Nobody tell you to do that.
What I'm saying. So I feel like I got to.
Anyway, so Another topic that's been on my mind, and I'm pretty sure you might have been thinking about it too. This whole discussion around bills and how couples should or shouldn't split bills, and what a man's supposed to do and what a woman's supposed to do, or what partners are supposed to do in a relationship.
Like, can you pay my bills? Like, can you pay my telephone bill?
Yeah, and then maybe we could chill. I
I'm
don't
sorry.
know. But like people actually, this is like an argument with a lot of people, and people got some real interesting views on it. They don't, some people don't believe in 50-50. Some people don't believe in 60-40. Some people think it should be 100% on one person, and some people think that they shouldn't even have to work, so I mean, I got my opinions. What's your initial thoughts on everything?
It's a really, like, to be honest, a really disheartening conversation.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, a lot of the people's thoughts are kind of antiquated when it comes to paying bills and how that works. You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up in a home where my dad primarily paid the bills. But I never necessarily like aspired to experience that, myself.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, I feel like we can go into circles about this and how, what's the right answer, what's the wrong answer. But I feel like in an over like generalization about a lot of stuff, most of the people in this world are poor and broke. You know what I'm saying? I was having a conversation with a homeboy of mine. And I just was like, we're not even talking about living paycheck to paycheck. We talking about I ain't got no check type of thing. Like most of the people in this world are that. And those that have money, very few of us have a disposable income. Many people are unable to put their bills on auto pay. Many people are unable to take by themselves. Like, let's not, I'm talking, when I'm saying this, I'm talking about just by yourself. Many people are unable to take fancy footloose vacations at Sando Resorts or Walt Disney to the Maldives, Indonesia, or the, south of France, the Amalfi Coast, or any of the other beautiful destinations you can name. Many people are unable to do that on their own. Many people are unable to purchase designer anything. You may be able to purchase a designer scarf or a designer keychain, you know what I'm saying? If you're nasty or whatever. But it's like most people are just unable to afford regular old basic needs and cost of living. And so this crazy asinine conversation is that people are having about what they want a man or who they want to pay what, when, and why is really odd to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking from a woman's perspective, you as a woman, the many times you have been unable to get your weave fixed yourself. You know what I'm saying? You had to go 3, 4 weeks versus 3, 4 weeks to get your nails done versus the 2 weeks that they recommend. You know what I'm saying? You had to buy your hair on Afterpay. You feel me? Because you don't got the money right now. You had to get your edges tuned up in the kitchen at your cousin's house because you can't afford to go down to the salon in Uptown. We just talking about you as a woman. We talking about a man. Now you over here, you had to take the bus now so you can go and clock in at Burger King or Walmart or whatever it is you work for minimum wage. Like you probably don't have no car. Or whatever. You got tens on your car and not 20s. You know what I'm saying? You got a receding hairline because you decided to cut your own hair and you can't see that well in your bathroom mirror. You know, you got holes in your drawers. Like, you got jump man's from the Chinese hair store down the way. Like,
Okay.
you, we just talk about you, just you.
Me?
No, not you. Stop it.
Where you get this stuff information from?
I would not roast you that bad.
Y'all was like, jump man, or cut my own hair. Okay, all right.
I would not roast you that
And I was like, we just talking about you. I'm like,
not
okay.
you. Not you. I'm talking about just you as a singular person, you.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. The conversation is wild because said woman who got, you know, to wait 3, 4 weeks to get her nails done, ma'am, you cannot do what it is you want done for yourself on your own. So it's crazy to put that amount of pressure on somebody else. And for what? For what? And you, sir, with the tens and not the 20s. You can't pay for nothing. You can't pay to get new panties from Walmart on sale. So you telling me that you're not gonna spend $200 on a date is null and void because you ain't got $200 to spend on yourself for your bills. So don't have this conversation with me about something that you can't even do on your own. Don't devalue me as a woman because you can't afford, you know, something more than a 2 for $20 at Applebee's. That's not my fault. It's not my fault. Don't be trying to co-op tropical smoothies as a romantic date for me. Don't do that to me because you can't afford to take me to a non-chain restaurant that don't have, you know, a special for people that ain't got no money. And it's not even like a diss. It's like, to me, it's crazy that you can't just live within your means, period, and not have these wild expectations for people, period. For people, period. Like, if you want to do nice things and take vacations and do everything like that, I think that's okay. But to then go into this relationship and decide that you because you're a woman, you want the man to pay for something and solely be the provider for you for no reason other than the fact that you got a vagina between your legs. It's really crazy to me. It really is wild. You know what I'm saying? And many people talk about these experiences that they have in relationships where the man has paid for things and or has solely provided things for them. I think that's great. But then I also think about the kind of lifestyle you have. If your boyfriend was helping pay all the bills in your one bedroom apartment, you know what I'm saying? Very close to the track, if you know what I mean. The track. This in which this apartment is, y'all got one car between the two of you, and you working part-time jobs. We talking about a very different lifestyle than somebody expecting to have a man, you know, buy them a $1.1 million home, drive around in Teslas and Range Rovers, and purchase you Louis Vuitton and vacation in Portugal. What lifestyle are you asking somebody to pay for you for? And if this is the kind of lifestyle that you can have on your own, then maybe I guess that's fair. It's fair conversation. That's fair. But that kind of still goes back to my conversation about most of people in this world being broke, including me. I'm broke too. Okay. My bills do not be on auto pay. I don't even pay my bills to be, if I'm being honest, I do not pay them. All right. So I'm not talking down to nobody. I'm talking about myself too. And for the guys, you know what I'm saying? The men aspire to date a certain type of woman. You seen this lady with these bundles. You seen her with the designer. She got designer all the way down to her eyelashes and perfume. You know, you can't buy nothing that she got on her body. That ain't the person you should date, and then tell her that you can't take her on a shopping spree. You know me, Miss Mama is gonna want to go down to Saks Fifth Avenue. So
Miss
this is not your time. It's not your time to talk about what you ain't gonna buy. And we know you ain't gonna buy it because you ain't got it. Don't aspire to have a woman that you know you can't afford. And then try to degrade the woman because you think less of yourself because you put all this value on money and resources. That's the only way you see yourself as a man. But don't devalue me because you want me to think less of myself and think I deserve less because you can't provide it. That's not cool either.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. Sorry, I took a long time, but that is my point of view. I feel like I said everything the way I wanted to say it, but if not, I'm gonna get back on and say some more.
Nah, I think you said it. I think we see pretty much the same on this. To me, splitting the bills 50-50, I don't see nothing wrong with doing that. Or whatever percentage. It is. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We live in a modern day world where, you know, people can work regardless of gender. When you get in a relationship with somebody, people just need to lay their expectations out there. While you're dating, you should lay your expectations out there. You shouldn't even jump in a relationship before you know what the expectations are. But at the same time, to me, it's crazy to me for people who are not in the upper class to take on the burden of trying to pay every single bill. For one person, try to pay every single bill. You know what I'm saying? And the reason why I say that is because, you know, I think everybody deserves to have a savings. You know, I don't think that just because I'm a man or I'm the woman or I'm the breadwinner that I should be responsible for all the bills. And if this person is working too and they're making pretty good, decent money, they just get to save and, you know, play money manager and all that type of stuff. You know, there's certain instances where, like, man, like I said, if you're in the upper class, you're in the 1%, you're in a relationship with somebody, you want to pay all the bills, that's fine. But, you know, because you can afford to do that. But asking people who literally, if you are in the middle class and you're doing that, then we just saw how real things could get. When I say that, I'm talking about the pandemic. We saw a lot of people who basically their financial situation changed because they couldn't go to work or their businesses couldn't stay afloat. They had to take out loans. We saw what wealth was. We saw what rich was. We saw what middle class was. We always seen what poor and working class people go through. But we all saw that, like, in the middle class, you are a few paychecks away from being considered in the working class or being poor. If you can't pay your bill, the pandemic taught us that if you can't pay your bills or continue to pay your bills at the same rate for 3 years without the same type of revenue coming in, then you are poor. So we found out a lot of folks is poor. What we should consider poor, because if you can't pay your bills for 2-3 years straight without the job, that means you don't have the savings to consider yourself to be out of the middle class, out of the working class. You know, savings and money determine where your status is financially. So I think that, you know, splitting the bills 50-50 is not a bad thing, because, you know, it's allowing each person to, you know, say, make some savings or whatever percentage you decide. I think one of the conversations that's been going on recently, Gabrielle Union said that she splits the bills 50-50 with her husband, Dwayne Wade, who made a hell of a lot of money when he played in the NBA. Now, he's no longer in the NBA. I don't know what he's doing on the business on the side, but that's what they do. They split the bills 50-50. So this makes her, drives her to work and continue to look for work because she has to keep up with her end of the deal. Look, at the end of the day, that's what she signed up for. If that man told her, I want you to pay 50% of the bills and I want us to maintain this type of lifestyle, that was her cue whether or not she wanted to do that or not, to say, hey, I can't do this. I ain't trying to split it with you. You make way more money than me. You living like this. You got kids. Hey, I'm not going to do it. But she decided to do that. So that's their agreement. It might be dumb to some people. It might be smart to some people. But at the end of the day, they living their life. So, and then they got a whole lot of different things they do in their relationship. I mean, just let's just be real. You know what I'm saying? They always making the news for their relationship decision, you know? And they put themselves on blast. They talk about it a whole lot. But like I say, everybody got their own expectations and you got to make those agreements while you dating to understand that, like, this is what I expect in a relationship. But I think the 50, the discussion on whether people should be taking care of and stuff like that, that's kind of crazy to me. You know, I don't think anybody should be expected to just be taken care of, you know what I'm saying, unless the agreement is you take care of this, I take care of that. And, you know, when I mention that, I'm talking about, like, certain stuff to do with, you know, what they're, if I'm telling you I don't want you to work in a relationship. Right. You know what I'm saying? Okay, then that expectation is you're going to take care of these bills and you're going to make sure that I get what I need too. Okay, so yeah, that takes a whole lot of discussion right there and a whole lot of planning. And it don't mean that, you know what I'm saying, you get to be an asshole too because you're taking care of everything financially. That is what you wanted to do. But, you know, we got to get off this stuff where, you know, we try to criticize people that can't do that type of stuff for everybody they're in a relationship with.
Right.
We got to stop criticizing people for making decisions in their relationships to hold true to their agreements on what they're going to do. Because everybody operate differently. And we moving into an era where women are making a lot of money. And, you know, hey, this was to be expected when, you know, we start changing laws in this country. Well, I ain't gonna say we did, because we wasn't alive then. When they start making laws to give women rights, this is part of the reason that this discussion is going on right now. Women, you got to think about the things that women were being subjected to before they could work. Men could beat women in this country, and it was perfectly legal. So, like you whooped a child, you could whoop a woman. Women weren't allowed to go to school for everything.
Yep.
They were stuck to certain professions. Women couldn't divorce a man. Only a man could divorce a woman back in the day. So people always be like, I want to look like my grandparents had. Man, your grandparents got married when women couldn't even make a choice to say, all they could make a choice to say, I do. After that, they did.
And they did.
They did. Only way out of that marriage before the laws got changed was death.
Right.
Or if the man decided, I'm leaving. And a lot of times the man decided that he was leaving and didn't divorce you. You just stayed married. So you couldn't even get remarried. You know, women, there were laws in this country where women, when the divorce was final, guess who the kids went with back in the day? The men. The men got custody of the children before the women could. So a lot of times you saw people back in the day, you know, the mom was gone from the marriage. Why did she take the kids? She couldn't take the kids. She couldn't take the kids. You know what I'm saying? Women weren't allowed open up bank accounts, stuff like that. So we're talking about stuff that happened not just 100-something years ago and less. And so, like, we have to have conversations about expectations in relationships because things have changed. And a lot of our parents and our grandparents, operated under those old systems that were in place. You know what I'm saying? Even though they might have had the right to divorce or something like that, they didn't do it because it was frowned upon. You know, if they wanted a job or wanted to go to school, they didn't do it because it made it look like you were trying to be like a man in a relationship. So, you know, we got to have some real conversations with ourselves. But one thing we're not going to do, I feel like we got to stop doing this and stop shaming people because they can't, you know, stop shaming a man because he can't pay all the bills. Stop shaming a woman because, you know, saying she got her own and we can't get on her level. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody got expectations. Everybody got standards. We just got to respect one another. And if, look, and I'm one of them dudes. Hey, if I see a woman, Gucci this, Fendi that, from her head to her toe, you know what I'm saying? She got stacked bundles in her head. You know what I'm saying? Rings and jewelry. And she look good. Man, she just look good. I ain't got nothing. She pulling up in the 7 Series. She Range Rover. You know what I'm saying? She jagged. Hey, I'm just looking and admiring because guess what? I can't do nothing for her. You know what I'm saying? I can't do nothing for her. If she talked to me, you know, hey, I would look at her and just say, man, you know what I'm saying? You look like you bossed up, you know? Hey, I'm trying to get to that level, you know? But yeah, you know, we just, that conversation is crazy. And right. But continue to keep having it, just like they having conversations on, you know, everything from cheating to, you know, why I can't mess with your homeboy if we didn't do nothing. These conversations that take place because people are just bored on social media, I think.
I think so too. And I mean, social media provides a platform to where people can just say exactly how they feel and their thoughts, and we're all just kind of subjected to it. I think like maybe early on the conversation was cool to have, but now it's like getting out of hand. And I think what I've settled on is, like you said, we all have standards. And you know what I'm saying? It's well within your right for you to find people that live up to your standards. And if you're not in that relationship, it really ain't your business. And everybody's life is set up differently. I think for me, it's the shame. And like, I don't want to have conversations with people about it because it is like a shame factor. And it's also like a factor where it's just like, you really want to just tell people, but you're broke. Like when they start having conversations about X, Y, and Z, you want to just say, but you ain't got no money. That's what I want to say. So I feel like I don't want to have these conversations no more.
You don't want to have them no more, huh?
No more. I'm done.
Say less. We won't talk about it. We will not be bringing this back up. We won't be having these conversations out of respect for you.
Great. I'm thankful. Thank you so much for sparing me.
You know, hey, that's what friends are for. You know what I'm saying? We making agreements. We're intentional about our friendship. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, these conversations are just crazy to me, and people are like gonna continue to express how they feel about this or that, and I don't know why they just remain so popular. But the main thing I think people need to do is get off social media, go find you some friends that you can talk to and socialize with, because every day I think y'all wake up to tussle, to struggle, to scuffle, to get involved in fisticuffs, and to debate. You know, you got people that just tweet, Facebook posts, or get on Instagram and drop videos and say how they feel. every single day just for the comments. And that's what they do. And the funny thing about it is when you run into these people who are so freaking entertaining online, man, you run into them on the streets, out, whatever, they are totally not that person. They don't want to talk, they socially awkward, and ain't nothing wrong with it. But I'm just telling you, you know what I'm saying? This is what helped them get through their 8, 9 hours at work every day. Checking their phone, looking at their comments. They say the analytics and the people who study algorithms, they say that if you want to get a lot of social media feedback and content, they say posts between the hours of like 10:30, 10-ish to like 2, because most people that work on their phone. On their phone scrolling social media. So if you want to get they say if you want to get interaction, I'm telling you, this is what people who work on social media campaigns and things like that, they say if you want your content to be seen, you post within those 4 hours during the day. And especially on Monday, because when everybody most people take a social media break or take longer social media breaks on the weekend when they're away from work. So Monday, when they get back on, they be looking at everything from the weekend. They post it then. So go post early in the morning. And that's what people be doing. They just be looking for, you know, looking for interactions.
Well, they definitely get a rise out of a lot of people. I mean, I know that there was this one situation that came out with the lady with the bus and she owned a bus or drive a bus or something. And I mean, that was just weeks and weeks and weeks of conversation that I just thought was useless to everybody.
Yeah. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Good. We don't have to rehash it. But there was a conversation about somebody was asking her, would you date a bus driver?
Oh, okay. I know.
Yeah, and she said if he owned the bus company.
Hey, that's what she want to date, and that's what she want to date.
She is well within her right to do that.
Don't be hating on these bus drivers. Some of them are making some pretty decent money.
The bus driver is really my type. I ain't never seen a cute, well, I have seen a cute bus driver in like New York City or something, but anyway.
Make some pretty decent money, got some good benefits from
the got benefits, and you can get a free bus pass. Hello? Hello?
Hey. Might not sound nothing to us small city folks, but hey, when you in the big city,
bro,
transportation is everything, man. That free monthly bus pass go hard. that train pass go hard. That Metro card go hard.
Don't it go hard? I remember, I'm going to tell you, I got 2 bus rides. I got 2 bus rides for free in my whole life. And it changed my life completely. The first time I was in New York, and I was on vacation, and my boss messaged me and was like, "Hey, you ain't turned in your time card." And I was like, "Oh, actually, I didn't do that." She was like, "Can you turn it in before 10 o'clock Central?" Because I was, on vacation. I work in Central, but I'm on Eastern. And I was like, well, I left my computer at my hotel. I'm not really going to be able to get there in time because I got to take the bus, right? But I was like, let me just go ahead and try. So I go to the bus and I walk inside the bus and the lady, and I'm like, holding out my money, like, can you take my money so I can hit it, And she was like, we don't take, either they don't take coins or they don't take cash. I couldn't really remember. And whatever it was they took, I didn't have. They were trying to give us something else. I was like, okay, well, thank you. So I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to turn in my timesheet, so I guess I'm not going to get paid because I can't get on the bus. And she was like, you don't have to get off. I'll take you to your stop. It was the happiest day of my life. I was so happy. And that's why when people be talking about like New Yorkers are mean, I'm like, I have had some great experiences with people in New York. I got a bus ride that time. And on the same trip, it was Thanksgiving night and it was too late. I couldn't like get an Uber or I couldn't get a taxi. They were being really mean to me that night. Now these people were mean, actually. The taxi drivers are a different story, but they were like, we can't take you. It's late. If you ain't got cash, like we don't want to, like we're not going to let you. I had told this one dude, like, hey, let me check and make sure I got enough money. While I'm looking at my purse, do you know he drove off?
I ain't got time for that.
He was like, bye, and drove off. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's probably like 9 degrees outside. It was so cold. 2 o'clock in the morning, like Black Friday. So people are out because they're shopping and stuff, but they have like the logistics together for them. I'm just trying to get back home so I can get ready and go back to my real home the next day. So I go to the bus stop. I get on the bus. Then I was like, this don't look like it's taking me the right way. So I asked the dude, like, hey, is this going to this place? He was like, no, you at the wrong stop. He was like, you gotta get off. You gotta cross the street. You gotta go to the stop down the way. And I was like, oh my God. And so he was like, here, take this bus pass so you don't gotta pay. And he printed out a bus pass for me and I took it and I ran as fast as I could because the bus had just stopped at the stop where I needed to go. And I ran as fast as I could and I gave him my bus pass and I got home for free that time too. So the bus passes be coming in handy, okay?
Sound like a bus driver might be your type.
The first bus driver was a lady. She was cute. Now she was cute. And she was cute. And then she also was like, I love your hair. Like before I got off the bus, she was like, your hair is so pretty. I love it. So, I mean, I don't know. She wasn't my type. She was adorable, but like not my type. The other bus driver was cute. Like, but he was working. So.
Could have pulled up the next day. I want to give bus driver number on number the 10 bus. I want to drop off the hot soup and cornbread. You know, I know he might want a lunch.
I mean, he should have wrote his number on the back of the bus pass because I would have got back on that on said bus. I would have rolled with him all day.
That's what's up.
Had a chat.
My brothers out there riding those buses, driving those buses. You know what I'm saying? Free bus pass or a bus token go a long way. Some of the ladies, as you can see, you know,
it's a country girl. You is a country girl like me in the big city.
In the big city,
a long way.
Hey, you look. You know what I'm saying? Hey, brother, she coming down the street skipping after you give her that. Skipping.
And all I do is talk about my free bus pass experience. I love to talk about it because it really did make my day.
Look at them. All the bus drivers when they hear that episode, they were like, man, got these tokens. We're popping, got these good tokens.
In this episode to the Teamsters.
All the CDL drivers. they like, hold on. A lot of women now honking that horn.
Big,
oh, man. Big rigs.
Hilarious. Yo, that is hilarious. Well, I feel like we have made a great episode for all of our friends.
Come on now.
I don't have much else to say.
Me either. So I'll just say, hey, tell us about what you plan on doing for your Juneteenth celebration. You know what I'm saying? And send it in to us and let us know what's going on with you. Give us feedback on these thoughts. How you spending your bills? What's your favorite Tina Turner song? You know, we want to hear back from y'all, the listeners. Tell us what our next topic should be. That's what I got to say to people.
I feel like that too. I feel like we have really we I don't think we stalled on topics. I think that we've been making some really good topics. But I would love another like deep cut, deep dive topic like we did the cults episode. 'Cause that I need to actually go back and look at our numbers on the cult episode because I don't know. But that was like my favorite episode to record.
Yeah, and you need to share those numbers with me. I need to know what's the most viewed and listened to episodes, because either it's the topics or it's the banter that we've been having that probably got it that way. But let's talk about that offline too.
Yeah, and then we have to figure out when we're gonna record next. Hopefully sooner rather than later.
We can make that happen offline.
Well, I guess until next time, everybody stay black as you can be.
Enjoy your Black Music Month. And I'm out. Peace from Bali.
Peace.